Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your punch-drunk host, Jay Larson, and joining me as always this week is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you?
Oh, man, I am doing awesome. I'm just enjoying... This is technically my summer vacation, so I'm able to, like, invite people over to play games during the day so that I don't have to risk, you know, getting the plague. I get to take my kids out and do fun things, so... It's just been an awesome couple days.
Huzzah!
Yeah! How about you?
Pretty good, yeah. It is a little bit weird. I looked at my calendar yesterday, and I'd had kind of lined up this, like, 4 weekends in a row that were going to be really busy. Like, the first one, I was going to go to a friend's wedding down in Salt Lake City, and then the next one this weekend coming up, I was going to be going to Boise Pride, and then the weekend after that, I was going to go to Seattle for Lock and Load, and the weekend after that, I was going to go to Anaheim to Disneyland with my friend visiting from Australia, and basically none of those things are happening now, and instead, Brian and I are going camping twice in that time frame, so that's kind of our status on things.
Yeah, I mean, we were planning on going to Gen Con, too, and that was going to be my first ever Gen Con.
Yep.
That was my
Have you signed up for the virtual Gen Con yet?
I have not.
It's free. I'm signed up for it. I don't really have any idea. I haven't really looked too deeply into it on if there's any reason to sign up, honestly. But...
Well, if anybody knows why we should sign up for online versus just waiting for all the stuff.
I guess I can say that, I mean, I am signed up for it, so I guess I can say that my streak of attending each Gen Con for the last 5 years or so can continue on.
Totally.
So. No Harriet and Izzy's or St. Elmo's or P.F. Chang's at Hungerford, though, so. That's unfortunate.
I still have a P.F. Chang's gift card left over from my first Lock and Load, where the service was so bad the manager gave us all gift cards.
Well, you would have been able to use that at Gen Con, because
gone to P.F. Chang's.
Would have gone with Hungerford, yeah. But anyways, what have you been playing lately, if anything?
I've been going really hard into Guardians after taking a break from them. Okay. And specifically, I've been playing variations on a list that takes Groot, Venom, and Ultron.
Okay.
And so the idea kind of
those
being,
are kind of some big boys.
They're big boys, yeah. So the lists always have drop-off.
Uh-huh.
And some of the variations are like, you fit Thor in there. So, for example, I was playing a friend with Black Order, and he used, in his first turn, he used Proxima and Corvus Glaive, doing their husband and wife ability, to grab 2 points, and then basically sit on one of the central control points to stop me from getting it.
Okay.
And so I moved up Ultron. I just double moved Ultron to drop off Thor right on top of the point. So you move with the first one, and then the second move is the drop-off, and you can drop off someone to be in the center of the board. And Thor one-shotted Proxima Midnight,
Okay.
And like she dropped a hammer and right next to Thor, and then when Thor got to activate, he picked up the hammer and he just took two shots on Corvus Glaive and knocked and dazed him as well. So I started out with, I think it was 6 points to 1, and then with Thor, I was using almost all of my like discarded cards for rerolls for Thor. So he would just have these unbelievable, I think at one point Thor had 3 hammers.
Oh my heavens.
And I just,
that'll do, pig. That'll do.
it was really swingy. So basically he just spent half the game trying to eliminate Thor, which I was fine with because I was scoring so many points and it's real good. And so if you play it with Groot, Ultron, and Venom, you basically, it's really hard to get them off of a control point, and they're all really hard to knock out of the game.
Right.
But they're also, well, Groot isn't, but Ultron and Venom can both be really aggressive.
Right, yeah.
But I'm finding, like, if you have 1 point, you upgrade Venom to Thor, and then you have 3 flyers with Star-Lord. It's been a lot of fun.
So I played a game this morning that was kind of interesting, where, so the first thing that was interesting about it was the scenario was Extremis 3.0 and Struggle for the Cube. And I demoed that configuration of scenarios so many times, right? And I haven't really gone back and played it much since then in the intervening months. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to play it with like updated rosters where people are, you know, picking their own rosters and picking their tactics cards, etc., as opposed to like, you know, the starter box Cabal versus Avengers. And it was actually, you know, a really interesting scenario. Lots of interesting things happened. Having that many things to extract, having kind of the wide secures, it kind of switched up what we had been kind of normally seeing and with the guy that I was normally playing. And so that was something that was kind of fun to get a chance to do.
Nice.
The other thing that was kind of fun was, so obviously it was a 17-point game, and my opponent took a 5-character Avengers list. He had Valkyrie, Vision, Captain America, Iron Man, and Winter Soldier. And I wanted to do Drax and Ronan for this episode and our upcoming episode. And then I had Star-Lord, Groot, Rocket, and Nebula. And it actually ended up being a pretty big advantage for me in this instance to have 6 people. I had a little bit easier time spreading out, getting the additional extracts, the additional secures, etc. But the other thing that was really interesting was that, like, most of his range attacks were physical, between, like, Captain's Shield or Bucky's AK-47. And so, like, my very first maneuver was to have Groot go up and get one of the center cube. And he got that. Then second round, someone got dazed, and he picked up that other cube. And, like, he just wasn't going to die. And, like, there's something pretty nice about, you know, getting a couple extracts onto someone who's as survivable as Groot, and then also with Cube, you're dealing damage to yourself while holding the Cube, and so Groot being able to heal to stay ahead of that damage is pretty nice as well. So I know that a lot of people have been kind of poo-pooed Groot, but he was kind of an all-star for me in the matchup that I did this morning.
I'm finding that too. I'm really loving him for just holding a point and never being dazed because he heals. I also really like dropping Root on anybody with anybody who has like superpowers they need to pay for.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just, I've been really impressed with him.
Yeah. So that's been kind of my I've still been able to get a game or two a weekend, and it's been nice to kind of get back into the groove of playing in person.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I'm looking forward to this podcast. We're going to be talking about Drax. But I'm mainly looking forward to, I'm hoping that you're going to be like the little ray of positivity that's going to get me excited about Drax and get me excited about this comic book arc.
Okay.
So I guess why don't you go ahead and read Drax's card?
Sure. You've got me worried now. Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I've played him a few times now, and, like, he hasn't really done anything for me.
Okay.
But some of that might just be how things played out. Like, in the game this morning, he was kind of out on a flank securing a Extremis console, and my opponent kind of fled that flank, and so he was just like, okay, I guess I'm just going to stand here with no range attacks and score a point or turn. I don't know if that's a good use of 3 points or not. I guess it was, because I ended up winning the game, but it's kind of weird.
I have had similar situations where I have to decide to not use a 3-point character to score 1 point, or try to figure out if it's more worth it to engage. Mm-hmm. And the decision I've come to is that if you can just double move them and stop your opponent from getting a point, and you give up a point, you're in a better place next round.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I do understand what you mean. I'm surprised. Okay. We'll go into it. So, Drax has 6 stamina on both sides. He's a medium move. He's sized 2, and he is threat 3, which we talked about. He's 6 stamina on the injured side as well. In fact, there are no changes. But he's 3 physical defense, 3 energy defense, 2 mystic defense, which is too bad. He has 3 physical attacks, and I'm just gonna get this out right now. They're interesting because all of them are range 2, so he doesn't have like a long range attack, and he also lacks movement shenanigans, which is maybe, you know, one of the problems you had when he was alone on a flank. So his first is called Blades, and it's basically a very good strike attack. It's 5 dice, 0 cost. It says after the attack is resolved, he gains power equal to damage dealt. And then it has Wild Bleed, so really cool. And then it says if the target character has bleed, you can reroll 2 of your attack dice. So that's a really cool, like, basic ability to gain power, and I like that it gives you free built-in rerolls if they're already bleeding. So that's pretty cool. His next attack is called Headbutt. It is 4 strength, and it costs 2. But what's pretty interesting is that it automatically pushes short if they are size 3 or less, and it has a wild stun ability. So I think the advantage of Headbutt is just pushing them off the zone, because you don't need to do damage or anything, with a small chance of stunning. His big attack is deceptive. It's called Titan Killer, and it's range 2, and it costs 3 power, but it's only 3 dice, which you might think is terrible, until you read the next one. So add 1 die to this attack roll for every damage token on this character. So technically, if he takes 5 damage, if he has 5 damage tokens on him, this could be 8 dice. Could be. And then wild ability throw. So before damage is dealt, if the target character is size 4 or less, you can throw them away short. So he's got a lot of wild abilities. And he's got a lot of status. He's got bleed and stun he can hand out on his 2 attacks. None of his attacks do a ton of dice. So I think even Titan Killer is pretty variable, and, you know, I would guess that most of the time if you're using Titan Killer, you're only going to be rolling 6 or 7 dice, generally. So his attacks are useful, and they have, like, but they're not, he's not as amazing an attacker as some other characters. He has the superpower The Destroyer, which is a cost 3 throw. So he can throw character or terrain of size 3 or less, and he throws them with short. It's a good throw. The fact that he throws characters as well, it makes, and it can be size 3, So pretty good throw. It's not as amazing as some others we've talked about. But he's a cost 3 with a throw, and I think we've talked before about how that like immediately makes characters really versatile. His next superpower is a reactive superpower, and it's a 0 cost. And this one's a little bit neat. So when he's damaged by an enemy attack, you can use this power. You place a vengeance token or move an existing vengeance token to the enemy character. When this character targets a character with the token, he rolls 3 additional attack dice. After this attack is resolved, the vengeance token is removed, and the character may have only 1 vengeance token in play at a time. I think this is why you were maybe unimpressed, because he kind of really wants those vengeance tokens to be on people in order to have these like big swingy attacks. Mm-hmm. So if he's rolling 3 additional dice, right, his blades is 8 dice, his headbutt is 7 dice, and his Titan Killer could potentially be 11 dice. So he really, really wants to get driven by vengeance triggered before he attacks. So it's an interesting situation, right, where people won't want to attack him because then they'll have a vengeance token. So Thrax is one of those characters that a lot of times your opponent will ignore in order not to power them up and give them the advantage. Which, again, like I think is fine because he can still generate power pretty efficiently with blades. And then his final power is I can take it. It's basically invulnerability. When he suffers damage from an enemy effect, you reduce it by 1 to a minimum of 1.
So, I guess one quick thing to point out is throughout here, one list that's been popular has been Wakanda with, especially in like Gamma Shelters with, Black Panther, Shuri, Okoye, Valkyrie, and then initially, it had Doc Ock, but a lot of people are swapping in Drax now, and kind of the thought with it is that you're pushing people off of the points, scoring them, throwing them. Drax has a throw to help with that, as did Doc Ock, who he's replacing. That's one area where he has been already having an impact on the meta, so... I'm not gonna say like I think that he's bad or doesn't have a place or anything like that. The other thing though is that I don't know. If I compare Drax to say Baron Zemo, it just feels like I'm gonna be able to accomplish more with Baron Zemo. Zemo will be able to do some buffing with rerolls on the approach. He also has a long move with charge. And I probably shouldn't be, I guess, letting this bother me as much as I should, but it felt like there were so many times where I was playing Drax, and I was like, man, okay, it's time to activate Drax, and boy, sure would be super cool to have a charge right now.
Yeah.
And I guess part of the reason too why I maybe had kind of that disfavorable thought or impression or whatever is because a lot of times if I was normally doing list building, that 3-point slot would probably normally be Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. And instead, I was like, okay, I'm gonna get some practice in with Drax for the podcast, and instead Drax kind of went in the slot that Valkyrie would normally go in. And so, it felt like there were several times when I was playing Drax that I'd be like, man, sure kind of wish I had Valkyrie right now. But it turns out that, you know, a lot of people rate Valkyrie as one of the best characters in the game. And so, it's just kind of easy to feel like there's this opportunity cost when you're, comparing Drax to her.
Yeah. I think you are comparing Drax to some of the best three-point characters as well, and finding him, like, you don't think he's as useful as Zemo or Valkyrie, both of which have a charge, by the way.
Exactly. But I mean, he is a character. He is a melee character without without a range attack and without charge, which is kind of a weird combo, right?
I agree. I was like when I first looked over the card, I was expecting a way for him to get in melee, whether it's like a crossbones style place on an attack, or you know, I think I was comparing him more to Proxima Midnight. I think they have more in common, and I was kind of like, why does she get a place but Drax doesn't? And I think it's just, it's not in the way he was designed. I think he was designed as a, like, if you attack him, he's going to, like, ruin your day with the Vengeance Tokens. I think, well, the Vengeance Tokens and Titan Killer combined, I think are his theme, right? If you attack Drax, he is going to saunter up to you, and he's gonna just wreck you with Titan Killer. And I think it's pretty cool that we can compare him to the other three costers and be like, yeah, but he's not as good as the best ones.
Yeah, but so again, not to be, you know, the Debbie Downer.
Seems like that's where you're gonna what you're gonna be this episode. So let's have it. Let's
go ahead and I'll get my butt in now. Not to be the Debbie Downer, but like I'm not even seeing that much Baron Zemo lately, right? He's having a hard time making it into lists a little bit right now.
I still see him in Cabal lists.
Yeah, but still, in general, it's not. He's like there was, and granted, this was towards the start of the game, etc. But there was. There was a lot of chatter, like, oh my gosh, Baron Zemo, so good, best character in the game, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And no one's saying that now, right? And not that that's bad, I still think he's really good, but, he's just kind of fallen off people's radar a little bit, maybe. If Drax is, like, struggling to compare to this character that's struggling to get into lists itself, that seems like kind of a bad situation to be in.
I think it's okay to look at Drax as being a really good choice in Guardians, and maybe a good choice in like other lists where you want a durable character with a throw. And I really think, like, did Drax get injured? Like, did your opponent attack Drax, and did you get a Titan Killer or a Vengeance token on the board?
So, like, in one of the games I played, he kind of ignored Drax for a little bit, and then he dazed Drax in one activation.
Okay.
And then Drax did get to, at the start of the next round, he got to activate before getting knocked out. He also, like, I activated him kind of at the start of the round after getting dazed, right? And so he doesn't have any wounds on him, and so Titan Killer isn't really doing anything.
Nope.
And so then I have a Vengeance attack for 8 dice with blades, which is pretty decent, but then also I'm kind of like, okay, I don't really have, like, I was a little bit more used to, a lot of times, there's a lot of characters when you're in that situation where, once you get dazed and then you do an early activation with them after getting dazed and they have a bunch of power on them, they're just gonna, like, unleash holy hell on the enemy. And
yeah.
It felt like Drax kind of unleashed unholy purgatory on my opponent.
I mean, I think so. One thing I don't like about Drax is that if he gets dazed and then he's fully healthy next round, he has basically very little to do with his power.
Yes. Yeah.
He can throw one thing, and then he can do a headbutt or a blades on the Vengeance target.
Assuming that he didn't get killed from range,
Yes. And I'll also say another problem with Grax is characters who have, like, movement shenanigans on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Zemo steel rushes him and then runs away, well, I guess I have to double move to try. I can't get Zemo in a lot of situations.
Right.
And I will say that those are my two big problems with Drax. But I think most of the time, if your opponent, like, one-shots Drax, it's going to be someone with, like, that's worth more points than him, and so maybe it'll feed him and get him ready. I do wish he had, like, another superpower, or I wish there was a way to, like, pay to make Titan Killer more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Something so that you could be like, well, I'm going to spend 7 on Titan Killer and do 7 dice, or, you know.
Yeah, kind of like Black Panther's.
Yeah, I wish you could juke it up or turbocharge it.
Yeah.
I think it would be... I do feel like when we talked about Star-Lord, we said there's this problem where a lot of times Star-Lord will have way more power than he can use.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's on 6 power or 10 power, he's pretty much the same amount of usefulness.
Mm-hmm, right.
Which means Drax is a good target to use, like, expensive cards, like
right.
Follow
yeah.
Me,
right.
Or, like, I mean, any of the healing cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it does, like, lend Drax to that. I think, however, I really do think we just talked about a lot of situations where Drax isn't good,
mm-hmm.
but I really do think, like, if he gets injured but not dazed or KO'd, right, Titan Killer becomes a pretty cool attack with a throw, and then there's a vengeance token on them. So he I really do believe he can quite easily, in the right situations, get 8 or 9 dice on a Titan Killer. And I think that's really cool with a throw. I think in like certain scenarios, Headbutt is amazing. Just pushing and stunning people is just fantastic. I think Blades like has that nice effect where I wish there was a list where you could just focus on like Hela and Zemo and Drax putting bleed on people. I think he's got a lot of potential. Not to mention, he's got invulnerability, and he has built-in abilities where your opponent doesn't want to attack him unless they overcommit, right? And so,
yeah.
I feel like he's almost like a mini Hulk, where your opponent will often just ignore him instead of dealing with him.
So, I'll make, I guess, 2 quick points, and then we'll move on to the comic book club. So, maybe it's just one, because I'm forgetting. I was going to say something, but it's... Oh, okay. I've remembered both of them now. Excellent. Okay,
yay.
So the first one is... first of all, I think you're right. Like, if that does happen, where, like, they get some damage on him, and he gets some power, and he does this awesome, Titan Killer attack, that's fantastic. That's what you're... He's getting to live the dream.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that concerns me about it, or that if like I'm looking at a competitive play frame of mind, it's kind of like, okay, so I'm looking for this situation where the stars align, where my opponent like attacks me, but his dice kind of crap out and he doesn't knock me out. And certainly that situation happens a lot in Crisis Protocol, just because of the nature of the dice in this game. But having that be like your, like, I'm used to playing characters like MODOK, or where, like, he has his plan, and he can go in and execute his plan, with just bending the world to his will. As opposed to this one, it kind of feels like, you are kind of reactive and kind of hoping for a lucky situation to make it work.
I don't know if it's lucky. I think it's just a situation where I really do think it's that your opponent just isn't gonna want to deal with you, and
mm-hmm.
they'll
mm-hmm.
ignore him is more likely.
Yes.
And I do think 6 stamina with invulnerability, often you can't one-shot them very effectively.
Mm.
So
yeah, I think that's fair. The other thought that I had with it real quick was So one of my early games with him, I was like, okay, I'm actually going to play this Wakanda list with him, with those things doing his throw, etc. Right? And it was actually like I got to like turn two and he had two power on him. My opponent hadn't attacked him, and you know, I was just kind of like, man, it'd be really nice to be able to do a throw right now, but his throw superpower is kind of difficult for him to get off when if your opponent's ignoring you.
Yeah. You know? I also don't like his throw is range 2 and his attacks are range 2.
Yeah.
So it is, you do have to be a little careful. In Wakanda, I really don't like him as much as some people think. I think Dr. Octopus offers a lot more to that list. So so if you're taking Wakanda, 3 Wakandans, and then Valkyrie, you have no one with flight.
Right.
And so taking Doc Ock is good because he can ignore the terrain and get where he needs to go.
Right.
And then his attacks and his throw, his throw is range 3 as is his like strike.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to get him in like a good position.
Right.
And I just think you don't need, I don't know. I think the real advantage of Drax is that he's so much tougher to remove than Doc Ock. But I think Doc Ock has a lot more versatility with his attacks and with, he gets that, all those dice. I feel like Doc Ock just gets so many dice when you're playing with him.
Right.
So.
Okay, well, so tune into our bonus episode where Greg will be the ray of sunshine on Drax, to balance out my,
He's real good. You're just being negative. It's fine.
I'm sorry.
He's fine.
Although it's not like, you know, there's plenty of miniatures games where I have literally been like, you know, this model is just kind of trash and there's no reason why you would take him. And at least I'm not being that negative or that frightened about Drax. So
yeah,
and honestly, I can't think of any model in the Crisis Protocol line where I feel that way. So let's go ahead and move on to our comic book book club.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
So we read the comic called Drax the Destroyer. It is a 2005 series. It's only 4 issues. It is written by Keith Giffen. It is illustrated by Mitch Breitweiser, I think, who's he's just one of those Marvel dudes. He's pretty solid. But in this series, we get to see why Drax the Destroyer looks so different from how he used to look, and why does he act so different. And they basically recreated the character, because if you see what Drax the Destroyer looked like before, he wore purple pants and a purple cape. And he talked like the Incredible Hulk, where he was like, me smash you, me angry. And this is also almost like a prequel to the Annihilation comic we read before, because it shows where Cammy comes from, who was a weird little character in Annihilation. And in basic plot summary, because it's a pretty simple story, is a prison ship on the way to the kiln crashed lands on Earth, and 4 aliens survive. 4? 5. And they are 5. Drax the Destroyer. And then the other 4, honestly, they don't matter, except that they are like old cosmic Marvel villains that the writers just enjoyed and chose to bring in. So they are the Blood Brothers, who are 2 twins that are connected. Lunatic, spelled incorrectly. And then what's his name? Pycon? The Skrull? I think Pycon. And basically they are these like criminals who want to get off of Earth, and so the aliens are, you know, they keep talking about eating people, except for Drax. And so Drax is stupid, and the Blood Brothers get in a fight with Drax, and as the fight is going on, Drax is getting smarter, and it seems to be suggested that the reason Drax is getting smarter is because he drank the fuel dripping out of the ship that should have killed a normal creature, and later on, Drax gets killed, and his body sort of heats and steams, and then after a day has gone by, the new Drax that we're familiar with breaks out of the shell, and he is intelligent and seems like a completely different character, but he's lost some of the original Drax could fly and could shoot like really powerful energy blasts, so he can't do that anymore. And at this point, Drax doesn't decide to be a hero, but he goes to get revenge against the other aliens who killed him. And in the process, he saves this town that has been enslaved and basically horribly treated. Like, they're shown killing people all over the place. It looks like Lunatic is torturing or eating people or something. It's just really awful. The whole plot is also followed by this human girl, Cammy, who we're shown that her mom is a drunk, and Cammy just kind of runs around and does whatever she feels like. And she's got a really like bad attitude about everything, but also this sense of humor, right? Like, she's got this nerdy little friend that she looks out for, and she claims Drax's dead body, but while he's being reborn, and so she kind of says, "Oh, you belong to me." And Drax has like bonded with her in some way, and that connects them. So the end of the story is Drax and Cammy going into space jail together, which leads to why is Cammy in space during an intergalactic war in Annihilation. So it's kind of presented as a realist, like all the humans are, I think, presented kind of realistically, and there's some decent like scenes of humor with them. Like, the mayor is hiding while the aliens threaten the sheriff and ask for the leader. I really liked Cammy's like snarky lines to her friend and to the bully, where she like threatens the bully by saying she ate her brother or something. I don't know. It was fun. I liked it. You seem to need some pushing though, Jay.
I kind of just didn't get it.
Okay.
I liked the Drax in Annihilation, even though it was very different from the movie Drax, right?
Yeah.
But this one, it was just kind of weird. First of all, it felt like the plot of this comic arc was kind of basic. There wasn't by no means was it Annihilation, one of the Annihilation ones, where like when you recounted the story of it, you're like, man, this sounds crazy when I retell this, but when you're reading it, it actually all makes sense. But that's definitely not going on here. It's just like pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. But there's also just kind of some weird stuff going on, like, and some of this might just be like my unfamiliarity with Drax, or my unfamiliarity that this was going to be like kind of a metamorphosis story arc for him, because like it starts out and I'm kind of like, well, why is Drax stupid, and why is it like it was unclear to me, like they're fighting him.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem pretty certain that the reason he's getting smarter is because they're hitting him, and
that's because they're stupid.
Okay,
I think.
I don't know.
It's very.
Maybe I'm stupid. I don't. I don't get what they were trying to. I don't get what they're trying to do.
So yeah. So the Blood Brothers are stupid too, right?
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I don't even know. I don't know why Drax gets smarter. I don't know why Drax pops out of his own body after he was killed. I do know that Drax like gets killed and then comes back to life. That's just like part of his design.
That's what you do.
It's just a thing. Yeah, I mean, so Drax was created by Thanos' father, to kill Thanos.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's basically a living weapon made to kill Thanos.
Okay.
I don't know why he gets smarter. I don't know why he gets, like, reborn. And so...
I guess one of my issues with it, too, is that, you know, when I was thinking about this, I felt like one of my complaints was kind of... I felt like Drax didn't have a lot of character progression, but... And I guess that's not really true, because there is a lot of things that went on with him, but... I guess I don't know why he was where he was at the start, why the changes happened, and why he was what he was at the end, which it just all seemed kind of like kind of a failure on the part of the writers.
You know, I took it. It's funny. So I remember originally like reading this, and I compared it to like the Man with No Name style of story.
Okay.
Where it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, like, who Drax is. It matters, like, the situation he's in and the actions he took right away. And now that I think about it, those stories always rely on, like, the supporting characters a lot to be the main, like, person of interest and, like, the main characters to go through growth. Like, I don't know, like in Yojimbo, right? Like, he gets, I forget what the ripoff of Yojimbo was with Clint Eastwood, but in those movies, right, like, it's that he tricks the two warring sides to fight each other, and, like, he protects the innocent while getting the tainted to kill each other kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
This one is just like, Drax goes in and kills them. But I feel like it's the reason this story exists is to get us interested in Drax, like a new version of Drax, because the old version of Drax needs to go away.
Right.
The old version of this character was just so outlandishly dated that like you had to dump it, right? You can't have stupid Space Hulk, right? Like that's not gonna work.
Murder the past.
Yes. Let the past die.
Okay, well, I have multiple thoughts on that and questions about this arc, etc. But we can dive into that in the bonus episode. We may have done a poor job of planning this, Greg, but do you have a comic for our next one?
Well, so we're doing Ronan the Accuser.
Okay.
Right? And we enjoyed the Annihilation arc so much that I figured we would do the Ronan the Accuser Annihilation arc. And for some reason, I cannot remember the title. So, cool. It's just called Annihilation Ronan.
Okay. And how many comics is in it?
I believe it's 4.
Okay. That'll be sweet. I'm looking forward to that. So, Greg, I think you should tell the listeners why they should back us on Patreon.
Well, our listeners should back us on Patreon because they gain access to next week's episode as well as our bonus episodes. And our bonus episodes are where you get unlimited access to bonus Jay and Greg. That's twice as much Jay and Greg.
Twice as much, yes.
It's amazing. And you also get to chat with us on Discord. You get to participate in choosing the next story arc when applicable. With Guardians of the Galaxy, I've kind of picked a lot of the Annihilation arcs because it really is like this amazingly fun foundational crisscrossing of events. But we're going to be, you know, doing so many community events through Discord, and we have these really fun chats. We just had to open a whole new chat group for Thanos because of all the news coming out.
People are in fuego on talking about Thanos.
Oh, he's so hot right now. I think I'm just gonna put him in a Guardians list, honestly. But and also, you know, just supporting us on Patreon is really cool, and it helps us keep the lights on and the electricity flowing.
It does. So thank you for those who are backing us, and for those of you who haven't yet, maybe give that a consideration.
Yeah, thank you.
And for those of you who have, stay tuned, and you'll get to hear more rays of sunshine from Greg as he speaks positively about all the things he loves about Drax.
Yes, I do love Drax.